much about.
We got to get better, man. We came out last couple days and did good. This was bull. Let's turn it around. We got to have a great day today, man. Let's go. Get better. One, two, three. Get better.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do?
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
And now,
and incidentally, have you noticed what's happened to daytime television?
No.
It's all about the women. There's Kelly, there's Rachel, there's The View, there's The Talk, there's Ellen, there's
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson.
Our feature presentation.
Is that real? Did that happen?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Larry.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 10th of Rocktober.
Oh, no. That's not Rocktober at all. This is the opposite.
I mean, it's earlier Rocktober than we're used to.
Is how it
to.
Started? Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry. So that happened.
Were you happy, Kevin?
No.
No more baseball talk?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm happy there's no baseball talk.
Okay.
But I know what it feels like to be rooting for a team and to go all the way and the heartbreak of it ending soon and then everybody starts the autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And that always sucks.
Yeah, that was starting during the game.
This is the worst.
Yeah. I was doing it a couple days ago. It was more painful because it looked like we were going to win, maybe?
Hope hurts.
Hope hurts.
That's what
hope
I found
hurts.
Out.
As the 2020.
Product of divorced parents, I'm here to tell you, hope hurts.
I mean, it was... I don't know the numbers on the overwhelming number that the Dodgers were favored by. But,
a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
Not just to win the series, but to get back to the World Series.
Should have been kind of an easy go of things. That's what they said.
But, yeah.
Yeah, listen, I'm not here to bring this up, but I did say last year, I think you're insane to re-sign Kershaw, and you all, not you, or you... But
clarify,
you all listening
names.
Said, you don't know jack about sports if you think that they shouldn't re-sign Kershaw. I also said, you know what, Dave Roberts really doesn't know what he's doing out there. And everyone's like, oh, Ali, stick to being a girl.
Mm-hmm. Was it Popeye who had mostly the problem?
Yeah. And then I gave him spinach and he's like, no, I'm stronger. You're right. Real stupid. Yeah, it was gross. You know how I get playoff poops?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, my stomach just starts hurting so bad.
Do you have to share that stuff with
me? Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's relatable because other people as well get playoff poops.
You know, I've never heard about anyone else's.
Oh, my God. So many people get playoff poops.
Okay.
Look at my Twitter last night. It was all people saying, my stomach's in knots. I know I need to poop, but I can't. Yeah.
I pooped my pants.
Okay.
Some people saying, take a picture, which I thought,
that's not where you want to go.
But then it turned to playoff pukes, and then I was just like, you know what?
I'm going to bed.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing anymore.
A lot of people wanted to blame my Houston Astros hat yesterday on Twitter.
And a lot of people are looking for every single person they can lay this on. Yeah.
That's what I'm alluding to. I find it insane that people think they have any control over grown millionaires. But, you know, more power to you.
Oh, Andrew Siciliano used to get so mad if he ever said, wow, no hitter going into the seventh. And people would be like, you just jinxed it, man.
Right.
And he would immediately be like, there is no way to jinx it. And he used to get bullied to the point where he was like, okay, I'll just delete it.
Right.
I'd have to delete it.
Hmm.
People are insane.
Especially sports fans.
Yeah.
Sports fans are straight crazy. And I'm one of them. But straight crazy.
Yeah. Christine, what was she?
Yeah. She said last year she didn't pee at one point, and that's why the Dodgers won.
No, well, last year, I believe, was the year that she kept the hat on the passenger seat side of the car.
Oh, yeah, that one makes
sense.
That
worked for a long time, I'm not going to lie.
But did it?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, it did. All right.
Until it didn't. But I think last game it was I didn't pee because she didn't want to change the outcome. So I think maybe we need to check on where her hat was and if she
if she's peeing
released
in the hat,
her bladder.
Is what
no.
Oh, okay.
I
think that was the point.
I thought you were thinking she peed in her hat.
It's just such a bummer. It's just such a bummer.
Yeah.
Especially when your team is expected to at least make the World Series?
Yeah.
And rejected!
And maybe win it? But yeah. then lose I mean, it this early?
For sure they were supposed to win it.
Yeah.
This was like it's Yankees, Astros, Dodgers. Those are the three teams you were, you know, one of two of those three are definitely going
to
be in there.
So it's
definitely.
Bad enough to make it to the World Series then lose, but then lose way before that
yes.
point is, that's rough.
Yes. Muggs, how you doing?
I do feel good about one record that we set.
Okay. Mm.
Dodgers are the first team to have 106 regular season wins and not make it past the National
first
League
round.
Division Series.
No one yeah. wants that record.
That's a pretty cool record,
no
though.
No one wants that record.
You know is what? It a cool record?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's all in one record book. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
true.
Clean.
It's right it's there.
Real
that
clean.
Is true.
It's amongst great
yeah.
records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Remember yesterday in the meeting when I said, listen, yesterday during one of the breaks, I might have said to a guest, who said, that's a great hat. And I mm-hmm. said, yeah. And he goes, what are your thoughts? And I said, they're not winning tonight. And he goes,
what?
Really? And I said, it's just a gut feeling. They are not winning tonight. And then in the meeting, I said, listen, if they don't win, Dave Roberts has to go. And Bean lit me up. He brought them to two World Series. You do not get rid of a man that brings them to two World Series, possibly three. How dumb as Bean.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
About Bean or the manager?
Both.
Okay.
Anyone that feels like Dave Roberts shouldn't go is an idiot and hasn't been paying attention to the last three seasons of Dodger baseball.
You're a loser.
And that's from me. I would make out with Dave Roberts right now if he walked
same.
In the room.
Okay. Okay.
I
wait,
think
what?
He's a babe. Now,
today?
Yeah, sure.
Not today, though.
Today would be a rough day.
Yeah, it would be a
yeah,
rough
he
day.
He wouldn't be so into it.
No.
Yeah.
He'd be going through the motions,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I don't want that.
His heart wouldn't be in it.
Did you, we all watched the series pretty closely. There was no world where I thought I'd be most mad at Howie Kendrick. Like, I was
yeah,
like,
because
it's kind of a non-factor.
He had like three or four errors didn't
yeah.
he? Like, he was a mess.
Yeah, he's a non-factor.
Then why couldn't he do that on the Dodgers?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you see someone found an old Dodgers tweet that said, like, Howie with a blast? And just everyone was retweeting it.
Oh, my God.
It's like from 2015.
Yeah. I'm just saying, big changes need to happen in this offseason.
Let me ask you just one question, and then we're
yes,
going to deal
I
with...
Yes, I'd get rid of Bellinger and Seager. I would.
What?
Oh,
yeah,
no! Yally's on fire. She's on
I'm
fire
getting
sale.
Rid of all
is
of
anyone
them.
Sa- okay,
fire
I was going to say, is
no.
anyone safe?
Too many. Too many.
Justin Turner is safe.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you trade everyone.
Yeah,
keep Turner.
I like his red hair.
I'm a no. Will Smith guy. I like him.
No, there
I'm
are a
Will
lot
Smith
of
household.
People that are safe, but okay. there are also big people that I'd be like, pfft. Muggs is looking at me like, what?
I get rid of Pollock.
Oh, 100%. Like, he's not even a factor
no.
to me.
No.
No, he's like, I look at a Jackson Pollock painting now and I'm mad.
I listen to AJ.
He should be gone by now.
AJ and Ali songs, and I'm like,
right?
I work with Ali,
right?
And I hate the songs now. We really glazed over the idea that someone once called in here and thought that Ali was the Ali from AJ and Ali.
We didn't yeah. really focus on that enough.
No,
no,
she
we
but
didn't.
Was
no,
genuine true. About it. Hey,
100%.
Love the show, Ali. Love your songs, but yeah. just straight. Casual.
And then we were all wait.
Did
like,
you think
we didn't really
whole
even
recording
want to ask her?
Career, yeah.
No.
No, it was quality.
Very weird.
Yeah, she thought that was the case. All right, listen. Let's talk about today's Kevin Beecho, shall we?
Too much information in this, man.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling Allie, mm-hmm. but she won't stop. Matt Money Smith, Dodgers, mm-hmm. 7:30.
And let's keep in mind who he works for and see if we can kind of hear some undertones that he's not allowed to say.
No.
Like, off the top, I'm going to say... Blink twice if you'd murder Dave Roberts.
Mm-hmm. On the phone,
you're
going to
say you'll hear
blink,
a little
tap,
flutter.
Tap, tap, tap.
You'll hear it. But you got to be listening close to Matt Money Smith.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
We have Dr. Drew on the show today.
Oh, my God.
What the heck?
Right?
We had a subject planned. It was about LASIK surgery. We had all these things ready about your normal Dr. Drew scheduled break. And then things
went wrong.
Chaos.
Wrong or right? Which way are we looking at?
Sure.
Maybe right?
I don't know.
Sure.
Somewhere in between?
Yeah.
We'll tell you why. Woo.
Talked to him in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. We also have a bathroom etiquette. Listen, we shouldn't have to say stop touching people in the bathroom, should we?
Oh, my God. What happens in a guy's bathroom?
That's what I'm saying. Mm. We shouldn't have to say that.
Unless like you ask for it.
helping him aim?
Unless you ask for it.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I don't think it's helping him aim.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Because y'all could know.
If you tap, although, if you tap twice with your foot,
that, I think that's the signal. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a different
allowed.
Name. Okay.
You need some assistance. Mm-hmm. I have just on my own separate note. I've been asked to shake hands with people 15 times in a bathroom, 16, a lot of times. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna wash my hands right here,
and
I'd then
like for you to as well.
I'll meet you outside if that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, that must be odd. Real weird.
It's super odd. Yeah. Jensen has Get Up on This, where yes. he will introduce you to something new.
Yes.
We have RJ Bell talking about his picks for the NFL ahead,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Drew. We have to talk about him. I can't. I wish we had Dr. Drew right now.
I wish we had him all show.
Because we have so many questions for him. But yep. he is going to come up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. Time for our first look at what's happening on this Thursday, Allie.
You're not going to bring up the Dodgers, are you, Allie?
Why would I do that?
Well, this
should be a Dodger-free zone just for this.
Yeah, it was painful.
Minute? Yeah.
The whole first segment hurt.
All right. Can I tell you we have 3 hours left for voting?
Yes.
On whether we murdered Dave Roberts.
That's not the voting.
3 hours left to vote on what song you want to hear because we're trying to do a Halloween song a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 3 hours left. Do you want to hear Pet Sematary by the Ramones or Dragula by Rob Zombie?
Can't go wrong with either of those.
Those are both great.
Yeah. You can't. You want to know who's in the lead right now?
Yes, please.
Rob Zombie, 54% over the Ramones with 46%. Just go to @KevinandBean on Twitter, where every vote counts, you guys. Mm-hmm. I've said it for years. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, I believe, is when we're going to be playing one of those songs.
That is correct.
I feel like it's important to get the vote out there.
Vote or die.
Register to vote on our Twitter. @KevinandBean.
I don't know what happened yesterday. We must have taken a look at it a little earlier, but the songs flip-flopped.
Uh-huh.
And the one that we played wasn't the one that people voted for.
We sure did democracy into a joke.
It was, it was 2016.
Yeah.
On our show
yesterday. We relate to losers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We pick what we know.
So Ghostbusters was like a hanging chad.
Yes.
It was.
Is what happened.
Yes.
Okay. Still sounded good, though.
I thought so, too.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Well, Kevin Hart is returning to work following his life-threatening car crash last month. Remember that?
Yeah.
He veered off Mulholland Highway, then crashed through a wooden fence and plunged down a gully in his 1970 Plymouth Barracuda. He had two other people in the car, a couple who are now reportedly planning to sue Kevin over the injuries, arguing that his classic car did not have proper safety harnesses or airbags. I have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, there's some.
Because they're very good friends of his.
Like a trainer, right?
His trainer. They're just very intertwined.
Yeah.
Don't you think Kevin Hart has so much money that he would be like, dude, whatever your medical bills are, let me take care of it. Or let insurance do its thing.
Maybe this is how that gets started.
Do you think?
I mean, honestly, maybe you got to start a lawsuit and then insurance companies settle or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, but bad situation. But he has returned to work. E! News reports the comedian has begun work on the marketing campaign for the upcoming Jumanji sequel. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Danny DeVito, Danny Glover, all co-stars, all happy to see him. And they reportedly reduced their work schedules to accommodate Kevin. So everyone's kind of coming together for that little dude.
It's nice.
It's nice. It's real nice.
Until he gets sued by his friends.
Yeah, I don't know about the whole thing.
Goddamn Kevin.
This is a crazy story. $750,000 worth of jewelry was stolen from Tiny Harris's car. She's T.I.'s
ex.
Yeah. Who knows if they're still together. By the way, that car is a 2019 Lamborghini. The theft occurred while Harris was having drinks with a friend. No signs of damage or anyone breaking into the car, but they definitely took the blue velour bag with all the jewels. Items stolen, watches, earrings, the singer's wedding ring from rapper T.I.
Yeah, why do you have so much jewelry?
Don't know. And why in your car?
Yeah. You say $750,000?
$750,000 worth of jewelry.
This sounds like a Muppet movie.
It's definitely a caper.
Yeah.
But a blue velour bag.
Isn't that just saying, hey, diamonds inside.
I just did a heist. Here is where everything is held. feel free to take it from my 2019 Lamborghini.
No one's put their keys in a velour bag. You know what I mean? Like, no one's put just normal stuff
no,
in there.
No, there's not a book. No, you don't have Of Mice and Men in that velour bag.
Like I would.
There's no mixed nuts or snacks in your velour bag.
It's insane to me.
Every time we hear a story like this, we ask the same question. Who's carrying around $750,000 worth of jewelry?
I do not know.
That's crazy.
None of it makes sense.
I remember when I was a kid and we rented a lot of Blockbuster movies, my mom would always be like, don't leave those out. Put them under the seat. People will steal them. Because remember when movies were like $100? Like in order to own... Do you know what I'm talking about? It was VHS tapes more than DVDs.
They were that expensive?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
like, instead of renting them, you would buy them for that much?
It was barely offered. You couldn't buy VHS tapes. It was like, they were like for the richies. They were like the most rich people you knew had them.
Oh, well, okay.
But then even if you were poor and something happened to it, you didn't return it or whatever, you get charged.
Like $100.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So my mom would say, hide it. Like, people would break in our car and be like, ksh, I want the River Wild with, you know, Meryl Streep.
I was trying to think of VHS tapes we owned. And I definitely owned Annie.
Okay.
Because I actually wore one out to the point where my dad's like, do I have to buy another Annie on VHS? Because
and, of course, that's an understood no.
No, he did.
Is it the
absolutely.
Did you have, like, the big case? The, like, hard plastic
one?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. What did it feel like to have money?
Oh, I mean, it was pretty cool. Totally loaded. Yeah, that's why I can't relate with anything. I relate to Tiny Harris and her $750,000. God, I wish I could relate to that.
Velour bag, too.
Your mom needs to talk to Tiny. I know. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it under the car seat.
It's possible she learned her lesson.
I really hope she did.
That's a tough lesson right
there. If you're trying to rob my mom, just look under the car seat. She's been telling me it since I was five.
But it's a VHS, so.
Oh, yeah. So tons of VHS tapes.
Yeah.
This story I'm not quite sure I get, but then the more I think about it, maybe I'm into it. A Missouri bar is trying a very unusual business model. They're charging its customers by the hour instead of by the drink. The bar is called Open Concept, and they charge a cover at the door in exchange for being able to enjoy unlimited numbers of drinks that vary depending on the price package. Here's what the website says, which is so gross, but at our bar, we don't sell drinks. We sell time.
No.
Okay, that's gross. But if you think about it, there's no line at the bar because there's no money being exchanged, so it's quicker. And then when I saw this and I was like, all right, we serve mostly drafts, so we turn around orders quickly. So if you're just going to this bar to get draft beer, that's quicker.
Yeah.
And throw down $30 at the door and you're like, all right, now I'm in here for a few hours and unlimited beer. I'm kind of turning on the story. I'm kind of into
it. So
this
is like a buffet.
So, essentially.
Yeah, or like when you go to a wedding, it's open bar or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you just have to pay to get in.
Yeah. Drink it. Just saying. I think I'm into it, you guys.
I'm not really under... I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Sorry about that. You guys want to hear some birthdays?
Sure.
What
about Mario Lopez? I think he's a Dodger fan. He's probably sad today.
Hey, we just mentioned that we weren't going to...
No, it's good.
It's kind of cool that Mario Lopez is bum, though, right?
Well, sure.
Okay. Bradley Whitford, Dale Earnhardt Jr., David Lee Roth, and Rose MacGyver.
We're all very bummed today. Very bummed.
Yeah. You would
because
think
of what happened last night.
Yeah, you would think the Dodgers had a chance, and that hurts. That definitely hurts.
Right.
But then to find out that a member of our own family lost on his first appearance of The Masked Singer, it was, like, worse.
And to find out, not only deceiving us, but his family.
Yeah, he's lying to
like
his children.
Like, his family had no idea that he was an eagle.
Good morning, Dr. Drew.
I knew I was in trouble when I saw Allie on Twitter just with a long, no!
We have so many questions for you about this show. Where do you want to start, Drew? How long have you been working?
You guys tell me.
How long have you been working on
what?
This? How long have you been working on this?
It started like in June. The secret project began.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's crazy. Anybody who finds out, you have to literally plunk down a non-disclosure agreement in front of them and go, sign this. Mm-hmm. If somebody finds out for some reason, like one of my sons was living at home And it turns out I had a pretty bad vocal cord injury, and so they had to start rehabbing me back in June. And these coaches were showing up three times a week, and I was like, nah, I'm preparing for another national anthem. He's like, three times a week? Here, sign this paper.
You're like, you could only say you love America so much before you broke.
Drew, I worked on the first season as a writer and producer, and I know that we used to mask up, like, agents and managers, like anyone who even shows up with a celebrity who's a mass singer, we had to put in costume.
You're
also
kidding.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, anybody who's associated in any way. But this year, they just said, don't show up. We don't want to put
anyone.
You guys in. If you show up, there's going to be a sheet over your head. That's it. You know?
That's racist.
By the way, I got to tell you something. Good for you, because it's such a great production. And, oh, my God, is it complicated.
Well, this is what I do love about The Masked Singer. It's the dumbest show on TV, but they commit 110%.
Oh,
I do love that.
Yeah. I mean, we used to watch it, and I'd go, this is the stupidest show. And then I went, it's going to be huge.
Yes.
Like, it was almost they were, like, so connected. Did you have fun, Drew?
I had a blast. I you know, if you saw last season, Terry Bradshaw, when he goes voted out, I was like, thank you. This is so stressful. And I had definitely had that feeling. But then if you saw Layla Ali get kicked off, she said, I never lose. I'm undefeated champion. This is so uncomfortable to get kicked off.
Wow.
And so I had both feelings, like, I don't want to lose, and oh, thank God this is over. But I missed all the people. You know, you're sort of like a part of a community, and then you're just cast out, like all reality shows do to you.
Now,
I missed everybody. I just wanted to hang around and play some more. That's all.
Yeah. Did they tell you, listen, we need you for this chunk of time, like beginning to end, because we don't know when you're going to be let go, and you just kind of had to roll with that?
Yes, it was terrible. You have to essentially block out the entire filming season just in case. And I kept saying, I know that's not going to happen, but I had to at least block out three or four shows just in case.
Yeah.
And it's, you're telling people, well, I'm not available here. I'm not available. And they're like, why? I can't tell you. It was very challenging. And then all of a sudden I was available again. You know, I do lots of podcasts, right?
What?
Yeah. That whole schedule was upside down. They were like, why can't you tell me? Are you on Dancing with the Stars? Yeah, that's not so secret.
Did you find it liberating, Drew, to go up there and not have people know who you are and get to sing? Like, that is what they depend on celebrities wanting to do the show, is like no preconceived judgments, nothing, just go up and be something you never are.
He's never been an eagle.
Yeah. No, it's you guys. It's uncanny how weird that is. I, you know, there's a lot of interaction between me and the judges that doesn't go on the on the television.
Right.
They it's like a 10 or 15 minute interaction. It gets edited down to 1 minute. And what I told them, I said, it's like, this is like the cloak of invisibility or like the ring of Gyges. You put this thing on and it drives you. I have no idea where anything came from. It's just, I knew it wasn't me and it was intense and I just was going with it.
Just before we play a clip of you singing as an eagle, did you get to pick the eagle? Did you get to pick the costume?
Strangely, when you have your original meeting, your first meeting with the producers is, what are you going to be? And I came for some reason, because of all the national anthems and stuff, I thought, I'll sing another anthem. And, oh, God, if I were like a bald eagle, that'd be interesting. And they presented the eagle to me. I was like, oh, okay, perfect.
Wait, you hadn't even said anything?
I hadn't said anything. They said, we think you could pick the good eagle. I was like, all right, I'm in.
Wow.
But I didn't know it was – so I launched into learning all these Sinatra songs and Michael Bublé and American anthems. And then I put the costume on. I was like, "Oh crap! This is something totally different. This is a rock eagle. This is going an entirely different direction.
No R&B eagle here.
I thought I was a crooner eagle. Now I got to do Meatloaf.
You did Meatloaf. Here's a little clip of you singing Meatloaf dressed as a bird, which is a sentence no one's ever said before.
Sure.
As long as your dreams are coming true, you better believe it. That I would do anything for. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Oh no.
That's a solid oh no, by the way.
Ironically, that song is about dressing up like an eagle on Fox.
I was going to hold a handkerchief, but I forgot.
Was it difficult to sing through the contest? Through, I mean, through the costume. Was it? Did that make it hard to see?
Oh, yeah. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't hear anything. You have the ear things in, but it's still. And, you know, I had a big dance team around me, too, that I was trying to contend with. And you can't see anything. You can't hear anything. Yeah, and the mic, you know, it's hard to use the mic because you're pushing it against a plastic mesh in front of your face.
Yeah, we used to have to make sure that people were going to get walked off the stage.
Because they can't see.
Oh, yeah, because they'll fall off.
Oh, yeah. If you noticed, I'm kind of wandering around, playing around, and they got very upset with that because they were convinced I was going to step off the stage. I could see down very clearly. I knew exactly where the stage was. I just couldn't see anything else.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I would have been petrified by not being able to see everything around me on a stage on television. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Everything about it is crazy, but you're invisible. So it's you can do whatever the moment demands.
So Ken Jeong, Jenny McCarthy, Nicole Scherzinger, and Robin Thicke are the judges.
Mm-hmm.
And who guessed Adam Carolla? Was that
how Jenny funny
McCarthy,
is that?
Jenny McCarthy,
who you know
very well,
whom I know well, and I was giving her so much crap about it. I was like, "Come on, Jenny, you got all the way to Carolla. Can you go one step further? Like anywhere in the universe, Howard Stern or Adam Carolla are going to do this show? No way."
But you know what?
If you want to take two people off the list immediately, those two, take them off the list.
You know what though? It is very odd because that was one of my real gig was dealing with the judges, and sometimes they would hear a voice and connect it with something else from that voice. So like they heard your voice, and she was like, "Oh, Adam Carolla," because she knows you from Adam Carolla and Loveline.
Yeah.
It's like you don't get one-to-one. Sometimes it goes one-to-two, and that makes total sense to me.
But I assume that a lot of people still to this day think, oh, wait a minute, you can sing like that? Even though you've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
You know, I saw you do the national anthem at the Kings game. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But doesn't Jenny McCarthy know that? You know what I mean?
No,
so if she's thinking Loveline, she doesn't know that?
No, she doesn't know that, and it's so weird when you know people know parts of you, but they don't know the whole thing, right?
Right.
So literally, people were like, "Loveline, what's that?" Okay, so you know what I mean? I know you from Teen Mom, but okay. And so it's very weird.
And you look like a certain, like you have a certain look to you. Like when you go down the street for the last 10, 15 years, everyone has known who you are, right? Like at least here in LA where you live. And did you feel the anonymous of were you excited to not be noticed again in a weird way?
Everything about it. You ever heard the myth of the ring of Gyges? It's a famous Platonic myth about this ring you can put on and be invisible. And what would you do?
Right.
I had a vivid experience with that. It really was something else, and I liked it.
You wanted to go out and get a beer at a. At a bar, and
I want to be invisible.
Walk around
I want to be invisible, even if it means I want to be invisible, even if it means being dressed up like a giant eagle.
That would be amazing if you went in for your Dr. Drew appointment and he came in the eagle outfit.
The eagle outfit.
This is like this is my life. This is my life now.
So I'm looking at your chart. Yeah, wait, what?
I am.
He said my son figured it out. I would have been funny if he was like he found feathers all over the house, and I had to answer for it.
How did you prepare for the songs? Did you have other songs prepared? In case you went to week two and three,
the next song was going to. We were going full rock. The next song was going to be "Pour Some Sugar on Me," Def Leppard.
Oh! Damn you, God. Judges in America!
First the Dodgers, now this.
I mean, let's hear a little of it.
No.
Yeah.
Dr.
He's not wearing the costume.
You and me, babe. Hey, hey! I just started it. Go ahead.
No.
He's got to wear the suit.
It was so close.
Will you come in here in the suit and do it?
If they would give it to me, I would do that.
Oh, I think we found Allie's kink.
Dr. Drew, my first response was, you let us down. But then my second response is, you either want to get off first or last. You either want to win it.
That is exactly how I felt. It's like mission accomplished. I don't want to drag this out. I'm going to be out soon anyway. And by the way, they upped the game this year with the singers. I mean, there are some really talented singers in there. And my wife just the whole time was like, really? You thought you were going to compete with these people? I'm like, no, I really didn't.
Well, we're proud of you, Drew. That was awesome. You went out there and did it. Super fun.
Well, thank you. I'm so impressed that you were part of that team because it really is a high-quality team. Just everything about it was really fun. One last thing, you know, Ken Jeong, who I've also known for years, used to sit in for me on Loveline.
Yeah.
Yeah, you brought that up to him, and he was like, wait, I used to.
Last year, he didn't know that Margaret Cho was on the show, and she played his sister on his TV show. I so I don't know if this is a real coup. Yeah.
But I brought it up because, they cut this out. He goes, I know who you are. I used to sit in for you on your talk show. You're Craig Ferguson. I was like, oh, my God.
That was a surprise. You can follow Dr. Drew on Twitter, at Dr. Drew. Also, Dr. Drew does Middays Live, Monday to Friday, 12 to 3 p.m. on 790 KABC. The website is drdrew.com, where you can find all the podcasts, and the app is Heal. See a doctor in the comfort of your own home. Dr. Drew.
The Eagle.
That was awesome.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
See you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Get up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in a second. Jensen, you want to give us a little tease?
It's not about the Dodgers. No,
thank God.
No, we're in October, so we're still rolling with the Halloween horror terrifying movies.
And we will talk with Matt Moneysmith about the Dodgers.
No.
In the next hour. Allie, what's happening?
I feel like maybe Matt Money Smith is the only person that gets me.
Why?
You'll see.
Okay. He agrees with all of your...
I mean, any right-minded person that actually has watched baseball will agree.
I see.
But that's a whole other story. Guys, Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, very funny on Instagram, on Twitter. Isn't she also the one that would show, you would show her during the game and she would chug the wine?
Yes.
That's Sophie Turner.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to be kind of funny. Here's the thing. She's the latest Hollywood celeb to slam influencers for promoting unhealthy, products. Different social media is setting these bizarre standards for beauty. So she took to Instagram, shared a very filtered shot of herself, enhanced rosy cheeks, huge lips, and she said, "Today I just wanted to promote this new powdered stuff that you put on your teeth. Basically, it makes you S your brains out, and it's really, really bad for me to promote to young women and young people everywhere, but I don't really give a F because I'm getting paid money. Influencer life!" Oh my God, it's crazy. Hey, you know what I want to do?
What?
Thanks, Muggs, for holding up the sign that said giveaway.
Giveaway.
Oh God, bless you. And he mouthed it to me at the beginning, and I'm like, what's wrong with Muggs's mouth? Like, what is?
Why
what,
is it moving?
Is he like chewing curd back there? Is it cud? Cud.
It's cud. I don't know.
Well, curd. I thought you were chewing curd.
It's not cud.
Which would? It's not cud. Okay, guys. Wow. God, we're not on till 7, right?
That is good news.
I want to give you something, you guys. Zombieland Double Tap. It is in theaters on October 18th, but you right now can get access for 2 into the K-Rock advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap at the Arclight Hollywood on October 15th.
Yay!
You know what it is? I had the paperwork over here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it. It's dark over here.
I mean, they did change the lighting so that no one can see anything.
Yeah.
It feels like, maybe you would have remembered it without seeing the paper.
No, it's easier to when you can see things. I'm very visual. I'm a visual learner.
Okay.
Like Alfonso Ribeiro. He talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
All right. Access for 2 into the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Zombieland Double Tap. Give a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. And since Ruben's been waiting this whole time for me to get to it, I apologize. We'll just take the first 5 callers, Ruben.
6,000.
No, I want to make it easy on Ruben and Cud Eater back there. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 winners are going to get access into the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Zombieland Double Tap. Woo!
Somebody call my mama.
Thank God for Muggs, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for Muggs.
I've always said that.
It's the best laugh Muggs had in years.
Hashtag thank God for Muggs. Yeah. Everyone knows that was such a huge thing for so long.
People do that for years. That all the events.
Chanting it. Yeah. It's like
for Muggs.
T-shirts and stuff. Like, no, totally.
For
like 15 years, that was the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, Billie Eilish... kind of huge right now.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of having a huge moment.
A bit, yeah.
Pollstar reports that 500,000 tickets were sold just during the first hour of the October 4th on sale for a 42-date tour that's going to take Billie through North America, South America, Europe, all over 5 months starting in March 2020. They said, quote, "There's likely no hotter, more in-demand artist on the planet right now." And they're right.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys. Yeah, it should surprise no one that all of these dates are sold out in minutes. It's incredible.
She's one of the few that can do that.
Yeah.
Not very many people can actually pull that off because it's tough to sell a ticket these days.
Yeah.
There's a festival every week.
concerts
Absolutely.
All the time?
This article says she could probably easily sell out multiple nights in most city's arenas, although her tour routing makes it kind of hard for such additions. Like, oh, sold out so quick, we added a night. Well, that's hard to do when you've also sold out the next night in another city. But LA's Forum, she's performing April 3rd through the 5th. So we're lucky we got the hometown girl for a few successive nights.
Yay!
That kid loves it, as do I. Some birthdays for you from iZombie, Rose MacGyver, David Lee Roth. Did I ever tell you that I was auditioning to co-host with David Lee Roth?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
When he was taking
over for Howard Stern. And then flew in, did a couple auditions with different people.
Did he do that?
No, never met him because then they decided David doesn't want anyone with him.
Well, and David that worked out. Just, so he knows what he's doing.
He just really wants to do this show by himself. But we want to pair you up with. And then it was all these random dudes from all these random cities that then they were like, would you be interested in moving to Atlanta? Allie, can we interest you in Minneapolis? I was like, what is happening? Why am I here?
Like Allie and the Goont or whatever? Like they were looking
at it? Yes. Oh, okay. And it would be Goont and Allie because he came first.
He's a man.
Bigger Goont. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Bradley Whitford, and Mario Lopez. And
on Thursdays, we talked to Dr. Drew. Check. Did that. Mm-hmm. I see here that we're going to talk to Omar about getting touched in the bathroom.
Oh.
Which haven't done that yet.
We have to do. I mean, that if we find out that he was touched in a bathroom, we are legally obligated to talk about it on our radio show.
I think
show.
That's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a legal thing.
Yes.
That's true. And we're going to talk to Matt Moneysmith about the Dodgers. Also on Thursdays, Jensen, you have Get Up on This.
I do, and it's Halloween time, so it gets spooky as hell.
We're going to get you up on something spooky. For the month of October is meant to be scary. So Jensen's going to get you up on something new. And it's Halloween time. Let's all scream boo.
Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
Get up on this.
You don't want to miss.
Get up on this.
It's pure horror bliss.
Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
All right.
That's pretty strong.
It is. It's the spooky edition of Get Up on This. A reminder for those who missed last week, I'm going to be picking three scary movies every Thursday. Ones that I think deserve more attention in the holiday season. You know, here.
Maybe people missed, whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're chronicling them all, as always, at krock.com. So I would love to have some of you follow along and watch the movies as I pick them. Got a lot of tweets last week from people who watched the three and liked them. One today from a guy who watched Unfriended and said it was garbage.
Sir.
Wanted to say that out loud. All right. First up this week is a Netflix movie called Hush.
Not heard of it.
All right. It's directed by Mike Flanagan, who's best known for his much celebrated series, Haunting of Hill House, which everybody loved, and the upcoming Doctor Sleep, which Allie won't stop talking about.
Can't wait.
But this one is his 2016 slasher thriller that got my attention originally with him, and it stars Flanagan's real life Kate Siegel, who ends up in all of his movies. She's great. She also co-wrote this one with him, and she plays Maddie, a woman who, when she was 13, lost her hearing from, I think it's meningitis. She lost her hearing and ability to speak temporarily. Mm-hmm. But then when they try to fix it, they blow it and she completely becomes deaf and mute for the rest of her life.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Miscalculation.
Right.
Quite a roller coaster. Imagine what it was like for her. Okay. So she becomes a popular author of thriller books. And to sort of kickstart her writer's block, she isolates herself with A Place in the Woods. And
Never good.
Oh, that's great.
Never good.
And always A Place in the Woods, isn't it?
Mm-mm. Yeah. And she has just a cat. That's all she has.
Oh, just a cat in the
and
woods.
And a cat's going to eat her because you're going to die.
And the only communication she has appears to be with her neighbor, Sarah. And then one night, a mass killer chases Sarah over to Maddie's house, only to kill her right at her door. Now, the thing is, he thinks he got caught. He had to chase after this woman.
Right.
This is a nightmare for him. Well, she didn't hear it.
Interesting.
So, well, she can see.
She can see.
She just can't talk.
Okay. Well, the movie's not over.
And so the rest of the film is an intense and sort of well-directed cat and mouse chase between the two of them. She uses her abilities as a writer of thrillers to sort of predict what's going to happen next. It's a little bit torturous at times. There is no dialogue, really, in the movie. So
whole movie?
Kind of. I mean, basically it starts with a little bit of talk, but then after that she can't and he doesn't need to. So there's just grunting and yelling. So I didn't have a clip and I've mostly been picking clips. All right, grunting and yelling.
I watched that last night.
You watch it every night. So instead, I pulled a few seconds from The Fresh Prince's Nightmare on My Street, which has nothing to do with it, but boy, it's a bad Halloween song.
Okay.
Yeah. I walked in the house, the big bad Fresh Prince, but Freddy killed all that noise real quick. He grabbed me by my neck and said,
here's my bill. We got a lot of work here, me and you.
All right.
I got to tell you, I love that song.
Oh, I don't hate it.
It's a terrible song.
Me and you.
It's a terrible song, but I love it.
Yeah. Hush is inventive and exciting, working with almost nothing to cause this tremendous stress. It's great. And the best part about it, 1 hour and 21 minutes.
There you go.
Oh,
Jensen loves a short movie.
Spot.
That's my first pick, Hush. Second pick this week is a movie called Creep. This is a 2014 found footage psychological drama directed by a guy named Patrick Bryce, who also directed a little indie gem that I love called The Overnight. But this was his first thing, and it's co-written with the great Mark Duplass.
Oh
wow.
And so it's sensitive?
It's a horror.
Oh, okay.
It's a horror movie. And it stars only Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass.
Oh.
The guys who wrote it and Bryce directed it. They star in it, okay?
And they can't talk?
Well, no, they can talk.
They
this
can
one,
talk.
Yes,
okay.
This one talks. It follows Aaron. We watch it in first person, right? It's played by Bryce, who's a videographer who answers a classified ad placed by Joseph, played by Duplass. And you see the whole movie through the camera lens because Joseph has asked him to record something for his unborn son. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to tape something coming to my house. Help me out because I only have months to live. I've beaten cancer as a kid, but it's back, and now it's in my brain. Okay, so I need to video these things.
Leave a message
for my child,
for my
yes.
kid.
They meet at his vacation house, and he says his wife is out of town, and it gets crazy from there. The odd behavior.
Don't have a vacation house,
no,
people. That's
ever. Or just don't
is
go.
Is it
to
in
it.
The woods?
It's in the woods.
Of course it is.
It's in the woods. The odd behavior at first just comes off as a quirk, but it gets nuts, and you realize that Aaron is probably in for more than the ad suggested. The movie relies on improv conversation between Bryce and Duplass, much like all of Duplass's other movies. It may be slow for some, but it's got a slow build, and the utter confusion is what makes it so scary. And also, this is a clip.
You ready for this?
Okay. Joseph!
This is called an adventure.
Woo-hoo!
We don't know exactly where we're going.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
But I have a feeling. When you follow those feelings, great things can happen. Don't ever forget that.
Joseph?
All right, I'm in.
The best part about it? 1 hour and 22 minutes.
Oh,
there
sweet.
You go. Thirdly, the last pick is a movie called The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Either of you seen
I
it?
Have not seen any of the three of these.
Great. This has recently seen a resurgence in talk. People are like, this movie should have gotten more attention because it's on Netflix and they really push it during Halloween. It was originally released in 2016 and it stars Emile Hirsch and Brian Cox as father-son coroners. Okay. Which should be enough.
What a party family, huh?
That should be it. I should say that and you guys should be like, I should go see it. Those are both good actors and playing coroners. Great. When they have to examine the body of an unidentified Jane Doe, things become extremely supernatural very quickly. Her body was found at the scene of a multiple homicide and the coroners realize there's no external signs of trauma, but her wrists and ankles have been shattered, her tongue cut out, her lungs burned to a third degree, and much more unexplainable traumas. Then the hallucinations start. Lights start flickering. It just becomes chaos for them. And this is a clip of Emile Hirsch and Brian Cox. Emile starting to get scared of the autopsy they're performing.
Dad, how about we just finish this in the morning?
Burke needs a COD tonight. We're not even close. When we start something, we finish it.
No, don't. Don't do that.
It's great. Some people might feel let down by the ending, but the journey is awesome. And it's one of those, how did I not hear about this movies? Especially for Halloween, if you're like, what horror movie have we not seen? This is perfect. And I'll give you another reason why it's perfect.
Yes.
1 hour and 26 minutes. Still, I'm under an hour and a half almost for every movie I've picked.
I make fun of you for not wanting a movie after longer than an hour and a half. I do make fun of you for that.
Yep.
I've never seen a movie and went, I wish it was longer.
There you go.
Yep.
Ever.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ever.
Those are the three movies this week. Hush, Creep, and The Autopsy of Jane Doe. All very easy to watch streaming. Little to no work on your end to find them. That's it. That's my picks. That's this week on the spooky Get Up On This.
Get Up On This.
That was Get Up On.
We're going to talk to Matt Moneysmith in a few minutes.
What are we talking about?
About the...
we can talk to him about anything, really. I mean, sports in general.
In general,
right?
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about...
Right.
The Dodger. We don't have to.
We don't have to. No. But that, I'm sure it might get to that. Omar is joining us now with a very scary Halloween story.
Is it scary? Well,
So our bathroom is gross and disgusting.
Correct.
And I mean, yeah, talk about scary. It looks like one of these bathrooms that you see in like a Saw film.
Yeah.
Okay. Like every time I go to the urinal, it's wet underneath. Like people don't
right.
have
we don't
aim.
Need
okay.
too much
right,
detail.
Right, Bugs? Yeah, it's insane.
And there's so much toilet paper on the floor, even at like 6 a.m.
It's
really weird.
In there?
I don't know. No idea.
It looks like there's been a full-on riot in there every time you walk in.
And the lighting is really poor, so when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, what is happening?
It is Saw.
No, it looks like a bathroom after Katrina.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really weird. So yesterday, I'm going number one, and I feel somebody walk behind me and go into the stall to take care of business.
Now, do you know who it is?
At this point, I don't know who it is.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm finishing up, and I go to where there's three sinks, and I'm in the middle one, and mm-hmm. I'm washing my hands, mm-hmm. and then this person comes out of the stall, and I'm, at this point, drying my hands. Mm-hmm. So he's walking behind me again, and then I think he's going to go to the first sink, which is to my left.
Right past you.
Right past me. Uh-huh. So he says, good morning, Omar, before washing his hands, and he gives me a double tap on the shoulder and walks right out the door.
What? Never washed his hands?
Never washed his hands. And, everything happened so fast that I'm dumbfounded, and I'm like in shock, and I just stood there for a couple of seconds.
Your shoulders are pee stained.
I got it's a little pee on my shoulder.
Right, hopefully it's pee.
That's, why would he go in the stall?
Exactly. I don't know.
Number two.
Was it Dave, right? King of Mexico?
No.
Okay.
No.
So are you trying to have sex with me?
Has this person ever? Because some people are very touchy.
And
yeah.
By the way, I love this guy.
And by the way, and not in a terrible way. That's not what I'm talking about. Some people just,
they say hello by that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I see this guy around, mm-hmm. and it's always, hey, how are you? Kind of like a hand wave. Mm-hmm. Or what's up, dude? Like kind of like that, you know, good morning.
From a distance.
Exactly.
Right.
Never once, I haven't even, never shook his hand.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah. He's just not that type. And
it's Jensen, isn't it?
No,
it's
not me.
I thought I knew who it was.
Not me. I always wash my hands.
But I was like, what is happening here? Like, who
it
goes
does
to
take
the
your
stall?
It does take your mind a few seconds to sort of grasp everything that just happened. And by that time, he's gone.
Also,
I walked out like I was just
been
molested. Like, I was like, what just
you
happened?
You kind of were. Yeah. You kind of were. Also, I mean, this
little
opens...
sad Omar just slinking out of the bathroom.
This opens a bigger conversation about bathrooms. The etiquette, I just don't, you don't even know each other. Like, don't look at each other.
Even if it's your best friend.
Even if you do know each other.
No, just, hey, that's it. And then keep moving.
Isn't it the worst when you're next to somebody in the urinal and they say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm
trying to take care of business. Yeah, and I have stage fright as it is. Like, you know what I mean? So it's I got to concentrate
When you say you have stage fright, does that mean you wait for people to leave?
When I go number two, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You're looking at me?
Let the place clear out.
Yeah, I can't even do it. I can't poo when there's other people.
There have been times where...
It was Ruben!
No. It wasn't Ruben. There have been times where I go into this restroom and I have the fear, and I have to suppress the fear because there's somebody there.
Well, that's very considerate of you.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I will say this, very different for women in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are like, don't even, no eye contact, don't do anything. In a women's bathroom, like, especially like at a bar or something, you chat with everyone in there. Like, you could say to a woman, oh my gosh, that lipstick color is gorgeous. What color is it? She's digging in her purse. You're now trying on her lipstick. It's a camaraderie. Oh. We are all buddies in the bathroom.
But is your bathroom Katrina bathroom?
No.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the problem.
They're usually
that's
not
part
that
of
bad.
The problem.
Also, I don't mean to remind you, but we did learn here on this show that poo splash goes up about 4 feet.
Yeah, we did.
So, by the way, it's can go 9 feet.
So, if you're putting on lipstick, just keep that in mind.
Well, this was long before I heard that story.
That bathroom is just covered in feces, for sure.
Plus, women,
so
you know, we don't poo.
Yeah, right.
So, what did you do?
So, I walked out, and I see this person in the mailroom, and he's kind of just, you know.
M-A-L-E?
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and... I just kind of turn my head and just walk towards, you know, where the studios are.
It's different now.
So your life is before that experience and after.
Yeah, and I have to burn the jacket I was wearing.
Well, absolutely.
You definitely have to.
It's weird. I feel like I'm lucky that anyone wants to say hi to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm always fine to say hi and everything else. But, I mean, there have been more than 10 times where people in the bathroom want to shake your hand.
No.
Really?
Yes. And I just go,
I really appreciate it, but can we wait till we go 12 feet out the door? We both washed our hands. Is that cool? Wow.
I even think it's weird if someone like brings a soda at like a Dodger game, like brings a soda into the bathroom. Don't bring anything in the bathroom. Just go do your thing and walk out.
Get out.
Don't dilly dally in there. Nothing. Don't check your phone. Even just get in there, wash your hands, walk out.
I'm just glad they took the troughs. Remember the troughs they used to have in the stadiums?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they took those off because I have such stage fright that I would be there for like 10 minutes just concentrating.
Oh my god!
And were you thinking,
come on,
totally.
People are watching me.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just like so nervous. I was like, oh my god.
I remember being at so many Laker games with that exact same trough.
Really?
And it was just. I mean, you're standing side by side with somebody. It's guys are very different than girls in this way. That's why I did the bathroom interviews way back in the day, because guys do not want to even say hi. No. Don't say a word.
Mm-hmm. There's one pet peeve of mine is like, how many times are you allowed to tap before it's too many? Because there's dudes out there that you catch at the, you know, kind of like.
You're talking about the shake.
Yeah, the shake.
Okay.
Oh, a tap is very different.
Yeah, tap is
that
different.
That means you want a
sorry,
little.
Sorry, oh, my bad.
Yeah, help with the shake.
Maybe that's not why that guy touched you.
Oh, my God, I was tapping. I should have tapped.
Hey, it's Mama Muggs. Look at it this way. At least the kids of the Dodgers can go trick-or-treating with their dads now. Oh. Geez, Rip Taylor had a better October than Kershaw.
Good callback.
Dave Roberts, I hope you updated your LinkedIn. See you next season.
Shut up, Mama Muggs.
I'm happy she's gone for one.
Shut up with your negativity and your nonsense.
She remains undefeated.
She is 3-0.
Matt Money Smith joins us this morning. Good morning, Matt.
What's happening, guys? How we doing?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Allie?
You know, just thinking about the Dodgers and all the changes I'd make, you know.
So here's my question. I've always kind of wondered if this applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you, like, avoid reading the sports page, avoid Sports Center, avoid, you know, all of that when a loss like that happens? Do you just shut it down, or do you want to hear what everybody has to say?
I can only speak for myself in hockey, and I don't want to hear a thing.
Yeah, if I didn't work here, I'd be on full break. blind spots everywhere.
I want to see how Dave Roberts even tries to explain himself. I want to read that because I want to seethe, and I want to be angry, and I want to imagine him going into his office and seeing all of the higher-ups there with Joe Maddon say, dude, sit down. You're not going to make it out of here alive. And then they kill him. Okay,
but
maybe
sorry,
they don't kill him.
Harsh.
They don't kill him. They don't kill him.
I'm going to not participate in that part
okay.
of it.
But, they don't kill
okay.
him.
All
but
right. okay.
this dude has a lot of explaining to do. So, yeah, if I would definitely check the trades for that.
All right, Matt Money Smith, Dave Roberts.
Yes.
Thoughts?
So, you know, because it was happening in the moment, there was not a baseball person. I was kind of, you know, when the game's going on, you're in a text group and it's people that cover the Dodgers that, you know, I'm just kind of chatting with and bouncing things around. Because I wasn't at the stadium. We were there early, but I left. I had some stuff to do with the kids. So I'm sitting watching it on TV. And when Kershaw comes out, I send a text to David Vasse that just says, sweet Jesus. Yeah. And he writes back, I think it'll be fine. And sure enough, he strikes out Eaton on three pitches. And
but
I basically send like a whew, close kind of emoji, whatever.
Because there's
both
no
agree.
Way he's coming back out. There's
well,
no way.
Like, yeah, Eaton is not Rendon or Soto. You know, that's kind of like Trey Turner's good, Eaton's good, but it's those next two that are some of the best players, like legitimate MVP candidate players. And as we were then whipping it around with some other guys that cover the Dodgers, we were all speculating, hey, there's no one up in the bullpen. There's no way he's sending Kershaw back out there. There's just no way. There's nothing in baseball over the course of 2019 that would suggest that would be the right play. You bring in Maeda to get out Rendon because he is your best righty in the bullpen, and then you bring in Kolarik to get Soto out because he's made a fool of him every time he's faced him in this series. And then you figure out, is it Joe Kelly for an out? Is it Kenley Jansen for a four-out? When Kershaw emerged from that dugout, I did not find a single person on a Twitter timeline in our chat group that we were texting that thought that was the right play. Not one.
That's
crazy about it. Not one.
Was that decision the end of Dave Roberts' career here?
I don't think so. I mean, they just signed him to a 3-year extension.
Beat it, Dave.
I mean, honestly, I don't think that matters, does it?
It shouldn't to a team that makes as much. If they don't think he's the guy, you know, and I had kind of, you know, Andy McCullough sent something out that and he's a great baseball writer, knows a ton more about baseball than I do. He's been covering it forever. And he wrote, you know, it just shows you how little faith Dave has in Joe Kelly and Kenley Jansen. And I replied, I said, no, this is Dave Roberts trying to write a fairy tale with a happy ending.
Yeah. A redemption story.
Yeah. And it was very reminiscent of the critique that Pete Carroll took for Russell Wilson and his, you know, not necessarily pet project, but hey, look how smart we are, the Seahawks, by drafting a 5'10 quarterback who's going to win the Super Bowl MVP because he didn't the first time around because it was all defense. And look what it got him. It got him at pick six, you know, an interception in the end zone that ended the game. And I think that's what you fall into. You cannot be emotional, you know. And look, Clayton's one of the best pitchers of his era, if not the best pitcher of his era from a regular season standpoint. So you want to give him that happy ending and repeat 2016 when he got that save. And you can't do that.
I'm relatively sure I saw his soul leave his body.
Yeah. Again.
Clayton Kershaw.
Well, you know, yeah, and you know what? That was and I didn't like it. I mean, I did not like – look, I work with one of the great, awesome guys in all of sports, Philip Rivers, who's the quarterback of the Chargers. And to a man, teammates will lay in front of a bus for him. But when things go bad, his demeanor changes, and he gets angry and he gets frustrated because he's so competitive. Failure just it kind of wrecks his very being. And I did not like that look on Clayton. It's like, hey, dude, you just blew it. But every other one, there are 20, however many guys, there's what, 9 in the field. So there's 15 guys standing on that top rail, you know, cheering for Maeda to get these outs. And you're just sulking. Yeah. And when he does get those outs and it stays tied and you sit on that bench and every other guy is high-fiving Maeda and trying to get that energy back, he's still just sitting there. And to me, that's just a bad look, man. Yeah. You cannot do that.
Question, do you think money like a guy who's as good as Clayton Kershaw, who, like you said, arguably the best of his era, is it true that someone could...
In the regular season.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it true that someone could really have a postseason, you know, jinx kind of feel to him? Like, is that real that he goes in there and on October he's different?
I can see it's a mental thing, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think mental, sure. You know, when pressure comes, you can't, you know, you don't breathe the same. You're, you know, maybe you're sweating more. You know, all of those things can come into play. But I think, you know, it was something that plagued Greg Maddux his entire career, you know, that he had these awesome regular season stats and his postseason stats were just average. And he had some good outings and some bad outings. I think the problem with the playoffs, and we saw it with, you know, and look, this isn't, I can make a case that it is this one out, you know, this 6-out stretch that ruined the Dodgers season this year. But, you know, if you kind of string it out over the course of 5 games, you've got a guy that's going to win the MVP and Cody Bellinger, who was not good. You have Corey Seager, who was an MVP candidate three seasons ago, who was terrible. Yeah. A free agent signing, their biggest free agent signing, AJ Pollock, who went 0 for 13 with 11 strikeouts. I mean, like, there's more to it than just this one decision. And the point I'm trying to get at is here are 3 guys that had really good seasons. One is going to win the MVP. But when you get into the playoffs, everybody's great. Yeah. There's no more Padres. There's no more of these bottom Giants, these bottom feeders that, you know, the Pirates, the Reds that you were just feasting on and piling up all these stats and these wins and going 7 innings for Kershaw with 0 earned runs. Now you have to face one of the 5 best teams in all of baseball and go through that order 3-4 times or face, you know, in the case of Rendon and Soto, 2 guys that'll be top 5 in MVP voting. Yeah. And that changes everything. You know, like that's different than facing the 8 and 9 hitter.
So, Money, are you really saying that you don't think Roberts should be cut? You need to get rid of that manager. You're saying, give him another chance.
Robert.
I think if you go back through, it's very hard to win. I know I'm stammering here.
You sure are.
So many things.
And I get who you work for.
Things, right? This is a no, it's okay. There's so much. The team won 106 games.
Yes.
The team had home field advantage. So at the point, like, he was a great manager throughout the course of a 162-game season. He was a good manager through the course of the first four games of this series. There wasn't really any gaffe that he made. You know, you could argue with a couple of the shifts in the Rich Hill game, and should he have brought Urias out, having just pitched two innings, but it was only 15 pitches, and they were non-stress pitches.
So you're saying when it counts, when it's on the line, that's when he F's up huge?
I just think this was an emotional decision for him.
Okay, that he shouldn't have made, and a good manager wouldn't have made it. The guy has to go. Beat it. You leave. Pollock leaves. Seager leaves. I'm ticked off at Bellinger right now, and God damn it, you shouldn't have re-signed Kershaw in the first place. Good night, everybody.
I mean, that's unfortunately, sports is emotional, you know, and they have fans, and fans have more number 22 jerseys that frequent that stadium than any other venue in the world when it comes to sports. I mean, every single year, more people go to Dodger games than any other sporting event in the world.
All right, so
I think there's part of that comes into play.
So do Dodgers fans then don't blame Kershaw, they blame Roberts for bringing him back out?
At the stadium last night, it was a bad scene. You know, I mean, there were people just basically, instead of like, let's go Dodgers, it was F you Kershaw. I mean, that's how ugly it got.
Okay.
I mean,
and
someone that it meant so much to this team, that has done so much good for this team.
He never should have been on the mound in the first place.
Right, and that's why I kind of put that on Roberts. It's like, don't.
So you would get rid of Roberts then, is what you're saying?
Well, remember, when you get rid of someone, you've got to replace him with someone.
Okay,
so
let me do it. At this point.
Okay, so who do you want to replace? I mean, like, that's the thing. Who do you want to replace him with? Unfortunately, Allie, I don't think you're going to be able to do it.
Hmm.
I think they're going to look in a different direction.
All right, just get rid of Matt. Hang up on him.
He's ruining her chances.
He's ruining my whole life goal.
Like, look, everybody's screaming for Joe Maddon, and he has a relationship with Andrew Friedman, and he helped win a World Series in Chicago. But if you talk to people around baseball, they'll tell you, the Cubs were sick of him. Like, they were over it. The fact that, Chris Bryant, you're starting at third base today. Tomorrow you're in right field. On Wednesday you're going to play second base because let's see how that works. And watch my wacky games that we're going to play. Like, you know, basically about 2 years ago, people were like, hey, dude, Maddon ain't working here. These guys are over it. And I think you have to remember that's what you bring in when Joe is your choice. And look, it worked. They won a World Series, the first one in 100 years. Tampa was competitive every year with him, despite having the lowest payroll. But guess what? Tampa's competitive right now, and he ain't there. You know, and they're in a game five against the best team in baseball in the Astros. So, you know, I think you have to be careful when you have a team that has had this kind of success. Best record in the National League this year. Back-to-back World Series appearances. They should have won. That, you know, look, you can argue Dave Roberts blew the World Series in 2017,
mm-hmm.
but Clayton Kershaw had two leads in that game five. Two leads, and he blew them both.
Yeah, definitely re-sign him for a ton of money.
The funny thing about that, though, Allie, like, what do you care about the money? It doesn't affect the Dodgers. The fact that they signed Clayton to that contract does not affect one iota what they're going to do with the rest of the team. So if you bring him back for, it doesn't matter if it's $100 million, $30 million, this team is worth billions of dollars. Like, that's what I never understand.
So that's sort of irrelevant to the argument.
Okay, then I'll just go with the argument that he collapses in the postseason and he crumbles under the pressure. That's enough of an argument. And then on top of it, you reward that with the huge money.
Yeah, it's okay. So you don't think he's worth it? Like, you don't think Clayton Kershaw makes that team $30 million a year? Of course he does. There's more jerseys with his name on the back than anywhere else. His starts get the most people to show up when he pitches at Dodger Stadium. I mean, it's still worth the money, you know? And he had a great regular season. Without Clayton Kershaw in that rotation, throwing those 200 innings, winning those 15 games, maybe you don't even make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
so there's
really?
Give it, that's where I put more of it on Dave Roberts. Like, that's where I'm like,
so you
hey,
get rid of Dave you, Roberts.
All right. At least we can all agree on that. Okay. Matt Money Smith, we're out of time.
It was a bad decision.
We're out of time. We appreciate you coming on. Matt does the play by play for the Chargers, and also he's part of Petros and Money Show, which is 3 to 7 p.m. on 570 a.m. Money.
That'll be a good one today.
Good times. The autopsy, I'm sure, will continue. And thank you for talking to
us.
It's 7:52. We're going to check in with RJ Bell on how to make some money on week 6 of the NFL in just a few minutes. Allie is here now with a look at what's happening.
Well, Rihanna won't be hitting the stage at the Super Bowl, and the singer has explained why. In a new interview with Vogue, Rihanna revealed that she turned down the opportunity to perform at the halftime show in support of Colin Kaepernick. She said, quote, "Absolutely. I couldn't dare do that. For what? Who gains from that? Not my people. I just couldn't be a sellout. I couldn't be an enabler. There's things within that organization that I do not agree with at all, and I was not about to go and be of service to them in any way."
She's got a point. She's an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment.
She then went on to speak about the president, about mass shootings, and she even put the pregnancy rumors to rest. She was asked by Vogue's editor-in-chief, Anna Wintour, "Do you hope to have a baby soon?" And Rihanna replied, "I don't think about stuff like that, but I don't know. It's God's plan. But I look forward to all of the pregnancy rumors after this interview." So that's...
Is it because she's put on weight? Like, is that why they think?
Like, yeah.
Is that worse? Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Is it?
Kind of.
Why
and
would
she
they...
didn't gain weight
why
just
else
her belly.
Would you...
I mean, she, like, gained weight all around.
Well,
it wasn't like
there was a specific video that it literally looks like she's holding on to a baby bump in the video.
I mean, her face is bigger, everything. She just kind of... I don't think she's heavy at all. I just think her body type changed.
Mm-hmm.
She was also kind of like a kid when she first came out. But, like, I don't know. I thought she was pregnant. I thought she was thick with two
babies come out of her butt, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that's
an important distinction.
Yeah. That is how.
It is. Okay.
Speaking of babies.
Is it a toilet baby?
Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively welcomed their third child together secretly over the summer.
What?
The famous pair managed to keep the news of her pregnancy quiet for months, and they bought more time towards the end of her pregnancy. So I don't know if you remembered the premiere of Detective Pikachu in May.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Yes,
that's
you do.
Where she revealed her pregnancy. And then in June, she made her last public appearance. She kind of went dark on social media. So people were like, whoa. How far along is she? Like, nobody had any sort of timeline, and they never really said anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when she had the baby over the summer, no one knew. Yeah, no outlet.
That's a
has,
pretty high-profile couple.
Like, one of
to pull
the
that off.
Highest. Yeah. No outlet has revealed the baby's gender, name, birth date, but People, Us Weekly, and E! All confirmed that Reynolds and Lively did indeed welcome the child this summer. And a source spilled to Us Weekly that the secrecy was quite the undertaking and planned with the precision of a military exercise.
Wow.
So.
I would guess you have to.
Yeah, at that point.
Do any of you care, other than the baby's healthy, do any of you care what sex it is? Any
In
of
general?
Those stats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think now that we have a son, I'd like, if we do it again, I'd like to have
a
daughter.
No, I'm saying, do you care about their...
celebrities.
The celebrity. No, that's what I'm saying. Is like people are all like, oh, what sex is the baby and all that kind of stuff.
No.
I don't care. I hope they're happy.
I think it's
I hope
weird.
The baby's healthy.
I think it's weird that we want photos of babies.
I
I've said
too.
That before. I'm like, I don't want to see a celebrity's baby. That's odd.
I do like when it's a whack-a-doodle name. That makes
Which
me
celebrities
laugh.
Usually come
yeah.
through on.
That I enjoy.
Like Inspector or whatever.
Inspector Pilot or
yeah,
something.
Or like Super
Pilot
Nintendo.
Inspector.
Yeah.
What if your name was Asshore?
Oh.
I think that's really...
But what if?
A name. What? Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
What if? Kevin, you'll be happy to know there has been quite a bit of Friends news lately.
Yes!
That Is there a reunion?
That I haven't been bringing you, because it's literally those type of stories. Like, you see them at dinner together, and then, is there a reunion?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been bringing you those stories, but...
Thank you, I appreciate it. So what's next?
There is a Jennifer Aniston story in the news right now, but it has nothing to do with Friends.
Huh. But that doesn't mean that the Friends hype machine won't kick in.
Jennifer Aniston is talking? Is
yes.
there a reunion?
Yes.
It's possible. While she was promoting her new newsroom series, The Morning Show, she vented her frustration that there isn't a lot of variety at the multiplexes these days. Remember Martin Scorsese's views on Marvel?
Like superhero movies,
talked about Marvel. She didn't go quite that route, but she did say that she goes to movies and there's just nothing anymore except for animated family movies, exclusivity with franchises, superhero movies, then with only the occasional Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The rest tends to wind up on Netflix, even her most recent Adam Sandler movie, Murder Mystery. But she said, it's changed so much. I think we would so love to have the era of Meg Ryan come back. I just think it would be so nice to go to a movie theater, sit cozy. Which I enjoy right there. Just sit cozy.
Meg Ryan's part of the reunion?
No. I think we should have a resurgence. Let's get the terms of endearment back out there. You know, heaven can wait. Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles.
Is she just randomly taking movies out of the air?
Like, at first she was, like, naming rom-coms and she wants Meg Ryan back.
Now
and then
she's just
saying
movies she likes.
She's like, and Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, which I totally support.
Agreed.
Any Mel Brooks movie, but to put it in the same kind of... like rom-com.
It sounds like she was
odd.
Just starting to list movies that she could think of at that point.
Yeah.
Or just ones like Jensen said, maybe just ones she liked.
Yeah.
But
could be.
That quote made me kind of giggle. And I enjoyed it very, very much. You guys, Adler's too young. He probably isn't doing chores right now.
No.
No.
Adler is 3
but
months
soon,
old.
But soon.
He's drooling.
He's pretty lazy, so soon.
There,
let's get him out
vacuuming,
there.
Vacuuming, doing that.
He's a waste right now. Once he chores, I feel like he's worth it.
Absolutely.
He's drooling a lot. Is that a chore?
It's a chore for you.
To clean it up. Yeah. I mean, you got to teach him not to drool.
I've been trying.
And it's
gross.
That's
why I put the duct tape over his mouth.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
No, he didn't. Everybody, don't worry.
It didn't
happen.
That was a joke.
Stand down.
It's a joke.
Kevin, did you give your kids allowance?
Yeah.
Do you remember how much it was?
Not really. It was not very much.
A couple hundred a week?
No, like 15, 25 bucks a week. They don't really have a need for money.
What are they, live at Club Med?
No, no, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying, like, they're not doing expensive things.
They're in all one of those inclusive resorts. They come into the kitchen. They're like, I would like an omelet and a smoothie.
Not at all what I meant.
Smoothies extra.
Not at all what I meant. I just meant, you know, you buy them clothes, so they have that.
Yeah. They don't buy a lot of stuff for them.
That's expensive
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, kids are getting $30 a week in allowance.
Wow, that is a lot. That's a lot. I got $5, so.
I don't even think I got a weekly allowance. I think I got it according to chores. Mm-hmm. So,
you got paid for chores. Good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, VHS money over here.
Right?
I mean,
we did own VHS tapes.
It's unbelievable. With the big case.
With it, it was the hard cover.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, super rich.
What's that like?
Yeah. So $30 a week in allowance. That sounds pretty good.
That is good.
I'm kind of in.
Yeah, for taking out the trash?
Right, taking out the trash. Maybe you do the dishes every now and then. Cool.
Easy money. God. Look what we have to do for money.
You kids have it so easy nowadays. You don't.
Also, get off our lawns.
Yeah.
You kids don't have it easy, and we're so sorry with the world we're leaving you. Some birthdays. Mario Lopez, Bradley Whitford, Dale Earnhardt Jr., David Lee Roth, and Rose McGyver.
Thursday morning at this time, it's time for RJ Bell.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Jay, you may remember, was 0-3 2 weeks ago.
There's two ways to look at redemption. There's what happened to Clayton Kershaw, right?
Right, which he pretty much looks like a crushed human being.
And then you have to come back from 0-3.
Right.
RJ had a lot of responsibility.
2-1 last week.
Yeah.
Excuse me, gentlemen?
Yeah.
I have an official statement to make.
Oh, okay,
All right, fair.
Now, I want to say... and maybe it's just as the years go by, but I find myself thinking a lot about the children.
The children and the
future. And I have a statement. Now, this is a quote Martin Luther King used.
That seems like a good idea.
So I'm not sure if it's appropriate,
but I mean, go ahead, please.
And it's a short one. The arc of existence is long, especially on this show, but it bends towards justice.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And you're
equating that to you?
No, just justice.
Okay, justice.
And we won.
Would you agree that the children are our future?
Well, I don't even think it's debatable.
Okay, good. Cool. All right.
He came back with a vengeance.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
10-5 on the season is pretty good, considering he is picking with the line, with the points.
He is,
which is a lot harder than picking winners and losers, basically.
Well, listen, if you hit over 52.5%, you win money. Now, how many people you think win money at sports betting?
Not many.
Exactly. Well, right here, Kevin and Bean listeners do.
All right. Who are your picks for this week, RJ?
Okay, so we have what we call the big dog, and we've got the LA team involved, but we're going the other way. San Francisco plus 3.5 against the Rams. And here's the thinking. The Rams, last couple years, much better team. They made the Super Bowl last year. Congrats. But Todd Gurley is hurt. No one understands exactly how, but he's hurt. They're not really talking about it, but the running back's not playing near the same. Jared Goff, their big dollar quarterback, without the threat of the run, is not near as effective. San Francisco, recently not as good, but this is a good young team with Jimmy G. Many find him very handsome, Jimmy G. and they've got a lot of attention off of that. But right now, they're getting 3.5 in this game. So home field typically in the NFL is 3. This line assumes the Rams are the better team. I don't think it's true. Pick number 1, San Fran, plus 3.5.
All right, okay. Your best bet is Minnesota Vikings minus 3 over the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, so 3 again is the typical home field. Minnesota's at home. The assumption is these are even teams. No. Minnesota is the better team, and here's why. Philly, again, won the Super Bowl not that long ago. People remember how good they are. If you look at their team on paper, Philadelphia, they're very good, but they're injured. But you might say, RJ, last week Philly looked great. Yeah, they played the Jets with a third-string quarterback in. The big weakness of Philly is their defensive backs, right? You can throw the ball on them, but third-string quarterbacks don't throw the ball. So it looks like they did well, the Eagles, but it was really the deficiency of the other team, the Jets. So now Minnesota, Kirk Cousins isn't great, but he can throw. So we're going Minnesota minus 3.
All right, and your big game pick is Green Bay Packers minus 4 over the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and this is Monday night. We're going Green Bay minus 4. There's a few home fields in the NFL that are better than average. Mm-hmm. One of them is Green Bay. Seattle's another one. New Orleans is another one. All right, so Green Bay's better. So 4 is about right for home field here. In fact, as great as Aaron Rodgers has been in his career, he's exactly 500 straight up on the road. Only 50-50, but he's so much better at home. Detroit has had a surprisingly good year, but really, they haven't proven to be an equal team to Green Bay. So this is just a matter, again, who's the better team? Who's at home? Well, Green Bay is a little bit better. They're at home with especially good home field. So pick number 3, Green Bay Packers minus 4.
And I would find it very difficult to bet against Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football.
I think he is a person who gets a lot of attention, that likes to step up when the lights are extra bright, as it is on Monday Night Football.
Agreed.
All right, so your big dog pick is San Francisco 49ers plus 3.5 at the LA Rams. Your best bet is Minnesota Vikings minus 3 over the Eagles. And your big game pick is Green Bay Packers minus 4 over the Lions.
And history says that we have a heck of a chance to win.
Martin Luther King over there.
Right? You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com. You can get the podcast, which is RJ Bell's Dream Preview, and his daily radio show is Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell.
Free at last, RJ Bell.
Oh, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ
Bell. RJ Bell. This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
Reuben?
What? Oh, hey.
We gonna do this?
Sure. Just got some stuff on my mind.
Hey, we can do it later if you want.
No, it's fine. It's just... Do you guys ever wonder about the one that got away?
Not really.
Well, I do. We went to elementary school together in France, and she was raised by a peasant family in the Northeast. She was funny, determined, and she just got me. She was a warrior, a true fighter, who stood up for what she believed in, and was burned at the stake unfairly.
Uh-oh.
I never even got to say goodbye. I miss her sometimes. I love you, Joan of Arc.
What?
Dude, let's just do a new one tomorrow.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
See, because Reuben is old.
Wow.
He's emotional.
We did play What's My Age Again just before that.
That's
so
very funny.
He's emo.
I don't think we've been able to get a date on how old he is.
It flips around.
It does. Yeah. He changes his mind all the time. Here's the headline. Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love's $7.5 million Seattle home is up for sale.
That's right. It's crazy because even Bean and I were like trying to figure out if this is when we first heard it. We're like, is this the one he killed himself in? And the answer is, yeah, it definitely is the one he killed himself in. $7.5 million is the asking price. It is a 117-year-old house.
Oh, okay. I love it already.
It was purchased by the couple back in 1994, and then Love sold it in 1997, 3 years after he took his own life in the on the property in April.
Can I ask a kind of sensitive question?
Please.
What kind of cleaning do they do?
Well, in this case, it appears, even though there are no pictures of the inside of the house, it appears they've completely torn down the kind of like garage in which he killed
himself.
You
would sort of have to.
Have to start it over.
Yeah.
But
The rest of the house is the same.
Yeah, they only lived there for a few months before he killed himself, so it's not like they have a ton of history there. But you are living in the house that Kurt Cobain killed himself in, and you'd have to think about that every day.
Nah.
I would.
Nah.
One of the most famous suicides of all time. We live here.
I don't think I would think about it every day, but I do think I'm a what's the downside person?
Downside? Mm-hmm. The ghost of Kurt Cobain.
Right.
Rad. Upside. Give it to me.
It's not an upside.
Yes.
Ghosts are not chill. They're not just like, he's not going to party with you and sing his favorite.
How do you know, man?
Yeah, you don't know.
Because ghosts are tortured, man.
No, a lot of them are just like in limbo and they just want to chat.
Limbo's terrible.
They just want to chat.
No, they're super happy and they just want to chat.
Nah, man. You've seen Beetlejuice. They even when they're good, they're bad.
See? My real opinion on this is I don't believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. And yet, what's the downside of buying another one? Of not living in this house? Just in case I'm wrong.
Well,
what if I'm wrong?
There's another item up for sale of Kurt Cobain's right now, and it's the sweater he used during his Unplugged performance.
Oh, the one
on
with
MTV,
all the holes in it?
Yeah.
The raggedy one?
Yeah, and it's going for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is the second time it's sold in auction. But the even crazier part about that, no one's ever washed it.
Really?
Yeah, it's never been washed since his Unplugged performance, and that makes it worth more money. Mm. So I'm already creeped out. To collectors. I'm already creeped out by the idea that people want to live in his house and wear his unwashed sweater.
Yeah.
I have zero interest in the sweater.
But you want to live in the house.
100%.
No,
it smells like donkey ass.
100%.
Oh, not the house, the sweater.
Oh.
You would live there.
Yeah.
100%.
Yes.
No reservations at all.
None.
Would you live in a murder house at all?
Yeah.
Like if you, so if a real estate agent's showing you something and they were like, hey, so beautiful house. You're like, oh my God, this is perfect for my needs. A man killed his whole family in the bedroom. Two kids and a wife. And you're like,
I'd be like, found the nursery.
I would never.
Really?
I have problems with someone even died of natural causes in a house.
Well, I know that somebody died in my place.
Really?
And
really?
I feel her and she's there. And I think it's the coolest thing.
You feel her and you think she's there.
I literally can see like gray sometimes when I'm walking and then I'll look and it just kind of like, I'm not saying it evaporates, but it's no longer there. I sound nuts.
Listen, Allie's crazy. We're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067. And the question is, would you
live in a murder house or do you?
Do you?
Would you live in a murder house? Do you? Or is that a deal breaker?
Nope. Yeah.
I'm out. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah. And let's stay away from, even though I wouldn't necessarily pick a house with heart attack or natural causes, I'm not thrilled about it.
Right.
But let's talk about some real stuff here. Let's talk about American Horror Story houses and stuff.
Oh,
like
yes.
Creepyville, that there were a child who went nuts and cut the heads off her parents.
See, some people are drawn to that. What?
Well, I'm just saying. Okay. Terrible. I want to hear terrible police
That's
stories.
Jensen's kink.
Yeah.
Some people really are attracted to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of them. I don't need that house.
Right.
I just think there's other houses for sale, right?
Because people live in the Sharon Tate house.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
yes.
People live in that one.
That's
for sure.
Not for me.
I can't say I'm attracted to it, but it doesn't bother me at all.
It wouldn't deter you even. What if you had two houses that were equally, in your eyes, they were perfect, both of them? Would you pick the one where the kid didn't cut off the parent's head?
Wow. Why is it always a kid?
I don't know. It's just
this
going
is the crime
example.
Of my dreams.
Oh, my God. I feel like there's always a house that's going to be a little bit better. So that would determine
it. But the Menendez house. Oh, you want to go live in the Menendez? The OJ house.
I wouldn't live in Calabasas.
Well, fine. The OJ house.
I'm kidding.
The OJ house. The Redwood OJ house.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No issue at all.
No.
That's so weird to me.
Is it really?
It's sort of a deal breaker for me. I'm
big time.
Yes, I don't.
You guys are cucks.
No, that's again not
that's not how that works.
Okay.
But I'm
it's
saying
used.
I would. It's just it's a deciding factor. I don't need
same.
It's a very easy way to go. Oh no, I'm not living.
It would just turn you off. You wouldn't even think about it again.
My question is: are there any other houses for sale? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
So I don't.
Many of them.
So I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want that house.
What if it's just the perfect house, has everything you want, except some kid hacked off his dad's head?
Dad and mom.
again, my favorite crime. That's the one I'm sticking with.
All right, let's go to Stephanie in Irvine. We'll take one call here. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Would you live in a murder house? Let's call it just a murder house for shorthand.
Yes, murder house.
I would, actually.
You would?
Okay.
My father lives in one, and this is his second.
Whoa, like he's picking them out on purpose.
Or he's doing the murder.
Is he creating the murder house?
No, actually, the first one he rented, it was called the Dead Man Special. Whoa. And that was in Irvine. And apparently someone had been murdered, and they couldn't rent it.
I don't even want to hear the rest of the story after Dead Man's House. I'm out.
Dead Man's Special.
Special. I'm out.
That's, nothing special about that place.
That's a deal breaker.
Well, okay, the price was probably special.
It gets better, you guys.
It gets better because last year he bought a home in Colorado. And while he was going through escrow, the family ended up telling him the truth about the house, why it had been on the market for so long.
Mm-hmm.
A guy killed his wife and young kid.
Oh my God.
In the house.
Allie's celebrating like she wants to live there.
What's happening?
What is wrong with you people?
All right, Stephanie, does this make... Oh, wait, you just said you would live in the house. So this doesn't make you worry about your dad.
Yeah.
Not at all. Hmm. He actually called me and said, would you have a problem buying this house? I said, not at all. Why not? People die all the time. They die in the street. They die in the hospital. You know.
Yeah, you don't know, I don't live in the street or hospital, Stephanie. Both examples are perfect.
I love you, Stephanie.
Thank you for calling, Stephanie. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next.
We have less than 30 minutes left in our Halloween voting over at Kevin and Bean on Twitter. Every day, even though it's early, we want to play a Halloween song. Right? That was the goal. So we put two up every day, and you guys vote, and it is close. It's the Ramones at 49% and Rob Zombie at 51%. Voting ends at 9 a.m., so hurry up and go to at Kevin and Bean.
All right, we're taking calls on would you live in a murder house? Murder house, of course, being short for someone was killed there, not just died of natural causes.
Correct.
Julie is our first call in Newport Beach. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Okay, I'm going to guess, based on your peppy good morning, that you would not want to live in a murder house.
I actually 100% agree with Allie.
You're my people. Live in a murder house.
Nobody wants to be on her side. I got to be honest.
Everyone does. That's welcome, what I meant. Julie. Welcome.
Wait, you would... So you would... That factor would make you want to live in a house more?
Yeah. I think it just makes the house more interesting, and I think it's hilarious if you had, like, a dinner party and be like, oh, by the way, someone died right where you're standing.
Amazing.
No, that's a terrible idea.
No, it's amazing.
I don't want to eat at your house.
Haven't you guys seen The Shining? This ends terribly.
No. Julie, would you do like I would do? I would definitely have seances. I would do all that stuff.
What'd you say, Allie?
I would have, like, a seance. I would have friends over for dinner parties and then be like, guess what, guys? We're going to contact some spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You would. Okay.
Yeah, because you're creepos. Why don't you just leave the chalk lines in while you're at it?
Julie's phone is cutting out.
Your phone is cutting out. I'm sorry, Julie, but thank you for calling. You've gone bye-bye, as has Allie. All good, but thank you for calling. Let's go to Katie in Riverside. We're talking about, would you live in a murder house? Katie.
Yes. Hey, party people.
What's happening? We don't have any no's.
What is going on?
We have zero people that'll say no.
We are purely a psychopath show.
What's happening?
And it's all been women, let's be honest.
And it has all been women. Yeah. All right, Katie.
It's Allie. I'm 100% with Allie as well. I lived in widow's quarters. So for those of you who are not familiar, widows were sent to live all together if their husband died in the war, and our house was widow's quarters. So it was awesome. It was a 100-year-old craftsman house here in Riverside, and it was divided up, chopped up into very small rooms.
Oh, even the way she said chopped up.
Same.
Yeah,
she's
same.
Into it. She's like a Dexter.
I don't like the way she said that.
What a nut job.
Oh, that's why I love you guys. Okay. So, at night, we would hear sounds. There was an attic that nobody had been in years. And we heard laughing coming from up there separate times.
We talked
about it afterwards.
Listen, awesome. I want to see that movie. I don't want to live in that house.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to visit Katie.
I live for movies like that, but I'm not interested in...
Me and Allie will make the movie together and we'll give you 10% of the royalties.
Okay. Katie, we're not giving him jack.
Sounds like a deal.
No. I get 10% for nothing,
Katie. Legally binding. Thank you, Katie.
Damn it, Katie.
All right, let's go to line 8 and say good morning to Heather. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Would you live in a murder house?
100% yes.
What?
What is going on? What are you women doing?
Wow. No guys yet.
We're in a coven.
Yes, I would.
Okay. And you would love it. That, like, that would be an advantage to you.
That is my dream come true.
Have you ever lived in a house where someone has died before?
Yes, I have. I lived in my grandfather's house. My grandfather died on the toilet.
Oh.
And my dad found him.
Okay. We're not laughing at that. It's just weird
that was the first detail you gave us.
It was, I mean, that's an, okay.
It's a little creepy because nobody wanted to move into his house. There's three houses on the property. And I was like, I am going to move there. I don't care. Nobody wanted to walk in the door, period.
Why aren't any of those people calling that say, I don't want to walk into that house?
Nobody would come in my house for like 3 months. And I literally could swear I could see my grandfather on the toilet dead.
It wasn't even his ghost. He was dead still?
No,
it was just him dead on the toilet.
That's so sad.
But then after a lot of drinking and, you know, partying going on, it just became like a really nice presence, and I could feel him in the house, and it was awesome.
I like it.
Her grandfather on the toilet was a great presence in the house.
His spirit, maybe not where he died.
Heather's gone bye-bye as well.
No,
Thank you, Heather. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Valerie in Covina. Good morning, Valerie.
Hello.
Would you live in a murder house?
No, because I grew up in one. I don't want to do that again.
What happened?
She already lived in one.
So when I was little, we moved into a house, which my parents still live in, and the neighbors were like, oh, you know, a man killed his wife in the house like two people ago. And so, you know, my parents were like, oh, okay, whatever. Well, growing up, I would always see things and hear things in the house. When I was little, I would see people walking in front of my bed, like ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were transparent. I would hear voices. I'd get up, and I'd tell my parents, I hear things. I was only, like, 5 years old. And my parents would come in my room. They're like, there's nothing in here. And I'm like, you don't hear that? I would hear the voices, and it would just baffle me that they couldn't hear what I was hearing while they're telling me they don't hear anything. And I'm like, no, they're talking. Do you hear that?
That's because people that don't believe don't see ghosts. That's the thing. I think.
Well, and then later years, it kind of faded away for a little while, but I always had the weebie-jeebies in the house. Faded away for a little while, and then it started happening again, and I would wake up in the middle of the night to see something watching me sleep, and I would try to kick it away, and my foot would go through the ghost, and my dog would be growling at it too, because he could see it.
Okay.
And my dog would watch this thing go back and forth.
So you're out. I'm sorry, we have to go, Valerie.
You're a crazy person, right, Valerie?
But thank you for the call. Mm-hmm. There's one that made me believe in humanity a little bit, right? Anyone else?
Sort of.
I liked it.
Hey, Stephanie. That's the first no we got.
Yeah.
Well, she had lived in one, she had though. And she one. Kicked mm-hmm. through a ghost. I don't know how we're thinking that's just normal, but go on.
Stephanie, hi. Would you live in a murder house?
Hi. No, definitely not.
There we go. That's our person. Why are you against it?
I have a friend who lives in an old Victorian-style home in Pasadena that's massively haunted. And as you do, we show up at his house at about midnight for tea fairly frequently.
Sure.
And one night we did, just after he had completed a seance for a client, because he's also a psychic,
mm-hmm.
And my friend was possessed by whatever spirit he had welcomed into him to perform the seance, and it was just the strangest night of my life.
What's in that tea?
I need the name of that tea.
Was he on ayahuasca? Like, what?
we didn't actually have tea. One of the weird parts about that night was instead of tea, he pulled out 7 bottles of wine.
That's just drunk. Your friend was drunk, dude.
He wasn't drinking.
Mm.
He was giving us his wine for free.
Oh, I see what's happening.
Just so he could put on a show for drunk people of pretending he's possessed? Makes sense.
Maybe.
And that they would buy it.
Yeah, they would get in.
Yeah. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. Every day we're having a poll where you get to pick which Halloween song we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that at now, Jensen?
Well, is it 52% for Rob Zombie and 48%
For who?
Oh, it's who's the other side?
The Ramones.
Rob Zombie is 52% for Dracula and Pet Sematary by the Ramones currently 48%.
By the way, not mad at either of those choices.
Both are good. And it shows in how close they are to each other.
Yeah.
But there's 5 minutes left.
I was going to say, and yesterday everything came down to the last few minutes.
Yeah.
And the winner changed at the last minute.
Yeah, and then we played the wrong song.
We sure did. Yeah. We sure did.
Because we're not good.
Not great.
So.
But today it counts.
Because.
We're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do it right. Good. So go to @KevinandBean and vote now. Rob Zombie or the Ramones.
Also, Dr. Drew was an eagle, and he was singing. What's the name
in
of the show?
In your fever dream?
No. What was the name of the show? I can't remember.
The Masked Singer.
The Masked Singer.
And he sang a Meatloaf song.
He sang a Meatloaf song, and he got eliminated the very first
chance they could.
Night.
Yeah.
Yes.
First chance they could eliminate him, he was gone.
He was on the show for about 12 minutes.
You know who didn't know? We didn't know. On top of that, his children didn't know.
Yeah. Correct. So we're talk to Dr. Drew next. We have many questions about the Masked Singer. First, Allie, what's happening?
Has anyone in the room ever taken your dog, cat, whatever pet you have, in an Uber with you?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not a crazy person.
Okay.
I have.
Did the driver say, like, oh, that's a dog?
No. He seemed fine with it.
Okay.
He seemed, I mean, I remember asking because I felt like that was the right thing to do.
Sure. Before you got in the car?
Yeah.
Or?
When he pulled up.
Okay.
I had said, is it cool if I have a dog with me? And he's like, yeah, absolutely no problem. Every time, no one seemed to have any problem with it.
Well.
I mean, I also have, like, a small dog. It's not like I was like, my pit bull wants to hang out. Can he sit shotgun?
See, I'd allow the pit bull shotgun for sure. Well, the rideshare service is now testing out a new ride option called Uber Pet, which lets you give the driver a heads up that you're bringing along your furry friend. You'll have to pay a small surcharge to travel with your pet, but you'll see the fee on your receipt. It's hoped that the new feature could help drivers avoid any unwanted surprises. Because I can imagine if, like, a driver pulls up and you've got a Great Dane and the guy's like, this is a Miata. Maybe he wouldn't pee in a Miata.
That's a great poll.
You know what I'm saying? A smaller car.
I didn't know he was so cool.
A Miata.
Yeah, I didn't know we were talking about a real pee magnet.
All right. A smaller car. And then the guy's like, no. And then you've wasted his time. Then you're now late because you have to call another car. This is a great idea.
Jensen's Uber driver probably gave him like 2 stars, though, afterwards. He's like, no, I don't want him to bring a dog.
That's very possible.
Oh.
But my dog's always so good. You wouldn't even know he's with me if I had a little bag.
See,
I
mean, that's what people always say. Oh, my dog's the best.
My dog has non-shedding hair. It's perfect for her.
So it's perfect for a Miata.
Yeah.
Well, starting November 16th, riders in Austin, Denver, Nashville, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Philly, Phoenix, and Tampa Bay are going to see that option in their Uber apps.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I don't hate it. Why not?
I don't hate it either.
What's the problem?
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Right.
Kevin Hart has returned to work following his life-threatening car crash that was, God, it seems so long ago. That was in September, you guys.
Jeez.
Doesn't it seem like months ago?
Like a lifetime.
Are any of you surprised that he's already back at work considering the surgery he had?
Well, yeah. I mean, he fractured his spine in 3 places. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what the rehabbing is like, let alone...
Emergency surgery.
Yes.
Yeah. He's got to have some sort of like brace or something.
You would think. Yeah, he is back at work on the marketing campaign for the upcoming Jumanji sequel.
Oh, so it's not like he's doing stand-up.
No, he's not doing a movie. He's not
he barely
doing...
stand up, man.
I assume they're making it as easy as possible on him, but the 3 actors that are also doing this marketing campaign, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Danny DeVito, and Danny Glover, all reduce their work schedules to accommodate him. So they're probably working, you know, shorter hours.
Yeah.
Maybe if they have to do like a junket, like those type of interviews, they'll let him sit one out while they take over, that type of thing. But yeah, I it's amazing that he is already back to any kind of work.
Yeah, no kidding.
After that crash. If you don't remember this, it's September. His 1970 Plymouth Barracuda veered off Mulholland Highway, crashed through a wooden fence, and then plunged down a gully. Not a good situation. The pictures were horrendous.
It's been like a month.
Yeah.
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Well, I don't think that's what we're saying.
No, that's not what we're saying.
By the way,
that's what that kid said, though. What?
Kevin got a tweet from a, shockingly, a woman on Twitter. A tweet.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Where did you receive the tweet?
On Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Kelly's Cookie said, did you know today is National Hug a Kevin Day? And I said, oh, is your name A, even Kelly? Because this is something Kevin would tweet.
Seems like he did it from the corner under a fake name.
Yeah. And are there even cookies, Kelly? Yeah. I'm doubting everything about you. But it's National Hug a Kevin Day. Did you know
How's
that?
How's that a thing?
It's a thing, Kevin. Are you into it? You into some hugs?
Mugs?
I mean, in general, I'm
mugs.
A hugger, but
mugs. Give him a hug.
Celebrate.
I don't like mugs much.
That was tender.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
Sort of have a boner.
Okay. I mean, let's get out of the segment so we can take care of it. And by you, mugs.
Right.
Mario Lopez, happy birthday. Bradley Whitford, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Rose MacGyver, and David Lee Roth.
Hey, it's Mama Mugs.
Nope. You know what it isn't? Mama Mugs.
She's done now.
That is not her.
Season's over.
And we're not doing that.
She cursed it enough.
We put up a poll each day to see which song you want to play for Halloween every day this month. And that was the Ramones, Pet Sematary, which goes back in the hopper, I assume.
That definitely
Rob Zombie, Dracula.
Yeah, it was the other one. So you wanted to play The Loser again, is what you're saying.
No, I mean, we played The Loser yesterday accidentally.
Mm-hmm. And then you announced The Loser today.
Yes.
We love losers here.
But I'm going to put Pet Sematary back in because we should play it.
Yeah, it
That's
could go
a good
back.
Song.
I mean, if we're going with that,
close.
Play Mama Mugs.
Nope. Yeah. Not doing that.
Okay.
Tell you that right now. 9:41, time for one final look at what's happening with Allie McKay.
Really stuck up on
she
me.
She had no idea that's what we were doing here.
Holy crap. What's going on, you guys?
That's what we're asking you. What's happening?
Let me turn on my lamp that I have to use.
Hey, it's Mama Mugs.
No, she's not today.
Guys, Billie Eilish.
Yes.
Right?
We love her.
Yeah. Pollstar reports that 500,000 tickets were just sold during the first hour of the on sale for a 42-date tour that's going to take Billie through North America, South America, and Europe over 5 months starting in March 2020. They then went on to say there is likely no hotter, more in-demand artist on the planet right now.
Yeah, I believe that.
I believe that as well, you guys. She's selling out arenas, you guys.
Yeah. I mean,
in record time.
When she did Acoustic Christmas last year, I felt like, and that was even kind of before her big break. There was like a feverish, fandom around her.
Yeah.
And then she played Coachella, and she didn't play the main stage. She played the outside stage, which is next to it, and there were more people there than the main stage for most bands.
Unbelievable!
It was crazy.
Before she played acoustic, a friend of mine brought her 12-year-old daughter to see her, and she said, "I've never experienced anything like that. Even when I was a kid, and I went to see like a New Kids on the Block or an NSYNC, this fever." Swell. This, like she said, it's like nothing I have ever experienced in my life.
Well, she has great songs, and she's also a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good live. And she's cool.
And she's cool. Yeah, I agree.
It's like when our parents looked at New Kids or NSYNC, they'd be like, oh, it's just pop and expendable. And we've seen this come and go. With Billy, it's like actual artisanship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's actually really good.
Did you almost curse?
No. Okay. Artisanship. No.
Artisanship.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I thought you were
saying artist and.
Yeah, okay. No. I was a little bleep me.
Okay.
I was a little confused as well. Any of you following the Mindy Kaling stuff yesterday?
Little bit.
No.
Woo!
What happened?
Okay, so you know that she was a huge part of The Office. Writer, executive producer, director. Oh, and she also was a co-star on it. Like, she did everything. Well, it's pretty interesting because in the early years on the show, she said that the Television Academy tried to strip her of a producer's credit when The Office was nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series.
Wait, she was a producer and then they wanted to take that away?
Yeah.
Well, just to explain, like most TV writers are also producers.
All of the TV writers for that show are producers.
Okay. Yes, in some way, shape, or form, a different name producer.
Okay.
But yes, she was a producer of the show and a writer, yes.
They felt like there are too many producers on this list to be considered. But they only were going to cut her, the sole woman of color at the time,
That's
from
crazy.
The list. Apparently, they then said when the other producer stepped in, which she mentioned, they're all a bunch of white guys, but thankfully, my friends who stepped in and said to the Academy, what are you doing? They then had her write an essay about her contributions as a writer and a producer.
F you!
She had to get letters from all the other male white producers saying that I had actually contributed when my actual record stood for itself. Oh my gosh.
Oh, f*** you.
The Academy denies that. They said, oh, no, we didn't single you out at all. That's not what happened. And she...
Did she have to write an essay?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, that's insane.
She was not about to let the Academy essentially lie. So she wrote on Twitter, "Respectfully, the Academy statement doesn't make any sense. I was singled out. There were other office writer, performer, producers who were not cut from the list. Just me, the most junior person and a woman of color, easiest to dismiss, I guess."
That's an incredible bitch.
The Television Academy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure we are on the same page.
No, I like her standing up for herself there.
Yeah, and she said she didn't say it for a long time. Because it's very important to be in good standing with the Television Academy. They're the ones that, you know,
make decisions on those
things. And all of that. But she finally was like, yeah, nope. No, not going to really talk about this much anymore. So in a new interview, Captain Marvel star Brie Larson said she and a, quote, lot of other actresses from the superhero franchise have approached Marvel Studios president and head honcho over there, Kevin Feige, about teaming up down the line in the cinematic universe. She said, "We were like, we're in this together. We want to do this. I'm not in charge of the future of Marvel, but it's something that we're really passionate about and that we love. And I feel like if enough people out in the world talk about how much they want it, maybe it will happen." Feige has said in the past and expressed interest in an all-female Marvel film, so not clear when and if it will happen, but you put things out to the universe.
The secret.
The secret.
I don't want to sound like Martin Scorsese here.
Go ahead.
But if Brie Larson just continues to make Marvel movies, we never get the cool Brie Larson we saw in like her older independent stuff or anything. We never get to see like acting Brie Larson.
She's not going to still be doing that?
I mean, not if she just makes two of these movies a year. No. Won't be time. I don't know.
I mean, a girl's got to eat.
Yeah, no, I know. Listen, we all love being rich. I get it. I do. We couldn't all afford VHS tapes as kids. I get it.
Our Television Academy, pipe down.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Is he?
When did he become the man?
That's an incredible bitch.
Yes, we're talking about Jensen right now.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones star Sophie Turner is the latest Hollywood star to slam influencers for promoting unhealthy products on social media and in turn setting a pretty ridiculous standard for beauty. What Sophie Turner did was she took an Instagram shot, filtered the heck out of it, rosy cheeks, some larger lips. And then she posted, "Today I just want to promote this new powdered stuff that you put on your teeth. Basically, it's going to make you S your brains out. And it's totally really, really bad for me to be promoting young women and young people everywhere. But I don't really give a F because I'm getting paid money. Influencer life.
I am nothing without my following."
This comes a month after Instagram rolled out stricter rules regarding weight loss products or cosmetic procedures. Under the new rules, if a post promotes something with a price tag affixed to it, viewers younger than 18 would be prohibited from viewing the post. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
They are also banning content promising over-the-top miraculous transformations.
Well, that's...
Come on.
You see that everywhere.
Some of those are so funny, though. You're like, really?
Stop reporting me, bro.
That's not the same person.
Right.
At
the before and after pictures are different people.
Right? They are different races.
That guy's black.
That can't possibly be the same person.
Yeah.
I enjoy those.
That is comical.
But no, they're banning those, you guys. They're banning them. That's your story right there. Glad I remembered this was what's happening. Some birthdays for you. Rose MacGyver, David Lee Roth, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Bradley Whitford, and Mario Lopez. And that is what's happening.
Thanks, Allie, and your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have comedian Ray Romano.
Yeah.
We have Jimmy Eat World coming in studio. Talk about the new album.
And they're going to play a song, I hear.
Going to play live. What? Very excited about that. And keep it 100 because tomorrow is Friday. Yes.
Does Christine know?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she wrote up this paper.
Oh, my God. Is she going to be okay?
We should give her the day off.
I mean, she's going to flip out.
Yeah, we don't need her. We don't need you tomorrow.
It's just we have to keep her away from them.
Yeah.
Right? Restraining order and all that?
Yeah. Okay. It's concerning. Okay. We'll deal